time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for October 9th. Holidays today, just a couple. It's Curious Events Day, Fire Prevention Day, Leif Erickson Day, Moldy Cheese Day. I don't know if that's good or bad, maybe because some moldy cheese is good, I think. Blue cheese. And National Motorcycle Ride Day. So, and since it is October, we can be riding our motorcycles still. It's not snowing here yet in Rochester, New York, or wherever you be. Welcome to the show. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole. DC is in North Carolina. How are you doing this morning, DC?
I am doing just fine. Good morning, everybody.
Joined by Furby from Hilton, New York. Furby, how's it going?
Going good. It's an enjoyable Saturday morning.
With the Rob Sanderson from Parts Unknown, I'm guessing it's Rochester.
It is Rochester. Good morning, and blue cheese is disgusting.
And we're joined by Jay-Z. Jay-Z just popped in. What's up, buddy, Jay-Z?
How's it going, guys?
We are doing great. Doing great this morning. Little audio issues here, but we'll get past that. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. Come on out to Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 267 Halloween Eve, October 30th. It's probably the biggest day for Halloween parties. Definitely the biggest day for Halloween parties. Prelim start at 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. And as always, no cover charge. And I'm guessing if you come as your favorite Halloween and your favorite UFC trainer, maybe you'll get a free drink or two. Who knows? That's all the plugs that I am. Hey, I got one more. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And by the way, the flowercityfear.com is owned by a certain guy you know as the Cash Man. I am actually the owner of that team, which doesn't mean a lot, but it means I can be sued if someone gets hurt. But nevertheless, let's get into the world of pro wrestling. That's what we're here to talk about. We got everybody from everywhere here with us today, and we got a lot of cool. So we're here to talk about a lot of things. And I said last week we weren't going to talk about WWE draft until it was completely done. And we'll just get that out of the way real quick because there's so much more to talk about. WWE draft happened this past So a week ago, yesterday, and SmackDown was for day one, and day two was Monday Night Raw, and nothing jumps out at me as significant. They kept Becky Lynch, they moved over to Raw, and they brought her husband over, Seth Rollins, or whatever they are. But a lot of people stayed the same place. I think the most amazing was Zai Lee went to SmackDown from NXT. There wasn't a lot of NXT moving. Ridge Holland came over from NXT to SmackDown too, but to be honest with you, and I was going to complain about it last week, but I wait till this week. When they go and tell you that SmackDown, gets to keep whatever, or whatever, they're telling you it's not really a move. It's just basically, everyone was on board to be switched and Roman Reigns stayed on SmackDown. Is that a big deal? They were hooraying and they were jumping up and down. I don't know. I just thought they're trying to mix up creative a bit by moving some people to other sites and stuff. And I didn't find anything too groundbreaking from it. I mean, we're still going to see all these people every week. They all work. And that the worst thing is the people who weren't picked. Where do they go? We don't see Bailey on there at all. Is Bailey free agent now? You know, what do you guys think?
That's what she's been posting herself as on social media, as a free agent. I mean, she's injured. She'll come back. She'll be somewhere. But a lot of the people who weren't drafted were away anyways for some sort of injury type deal. To me, the most shocking thing is how many tag teams they broke up. Not sure if it's shocking anymore, but like they brought up, you know, Shotzi and Knox, and they split them up. They split up Tamina and they split up Natalya. I mean, is there any women's tag teams in WWE anymore? I mean, what's the point of women's tag team belts if you don't have women's tag teams?
It's funny. Were there any women's tag teams besides the two or three that would take each other on every week? You know, well,
and that's exactly my point. Yeah. I mean, they had very minimal to begin with. Now you break them all up. What's the point of having a women's division tag titles? And the other big thing to come out of it too, there was rumors beforehand that they were going to split up the Street Profits. Move Montez to Raw and keep Angelo on SmackDown. Again, a roster that's struggling for tag teams, and all they want to do is break up their tag team division.
But and the funny thing too is tag teams were also traded as full tag teams. So how difficult is it just to add another name to the list instead of splitting teams up? I think we're going to see those women's tag belts disappear. I really do. After this. That's one thing I think that, you know, I think we're definitely going to see the tag belts disappear for the women, because is there any tag teams left, you know?
Or they unify them with the NXT women's tag team titles. They do something like that.
Yeah. You have any thoughts on this? How about you, Jay-Z?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to the draft, to be honest with you. I think that the draft is just a ridiculous excuse to move people around. They should find a different storytelling device in order to do that. I think the draft just breaking up tag teams doesn't make any sense to me at all. Did they break up the Street Profits?
No, they didn't do it, but they were talking about doing it.
I was going to say, if they did, those two guys would be dead in the water. They would have nothing to do. And you'd see them in the next round of cuts if they did that. I know that the New Day is still broken up, I guess. Big E got moved somewhere and Xavier Woods, and I almost called him a Consequences Creed, which is funny because that was his name 14 years ago.
Big E stayed on Raw because he's the Raw champ, and then they moved those guys back to SmackDown, which they were on SmackDown about a month ago, and then also on Raw, you know?
They were broken up forever, and then they brought him back, and I mean, those three guys really should be together. It's just, I know that Big E can handle himself on his own. I think Kofi can be fine on his own if he wanted to, but just them as a unit is just great. I don't know. I just prefer them as a group, like the Freebirds.
There's been teasers of T-Bar no longer being T-Bar. Potentially we get a Dominic Dijakovic back, and what a breath of fresh air that would be.
Now, will they take his first name or his last name from him? They got Dominic Mysterio, so maybe they're just going to go with Dijakovic.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you know, Vince doesn't want anybody getting confused with somebody else because, you know, Dominic I'm going to mess up his name, and Dominic Mysterio look so much alike that, you know, people will get confused. Adam Cole and Michael Cole.
I will say he was drafted as T-Bar, okay, and Mace was drafted as Mace, and Mace showed up last night on SmackDown as Mace, so... I thought
they all just showed up on Dynamite on Wednesday night.
the guys who attacked, who was it?
What were they called again?
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin.
Yeah, in the Liacora Center parking garage. Like, I mean, that looked like retribution to me. I don't know.
It did look like retribution.
But the signal didn't get all messy, though, for you guys, did it? No. It didn't get messy for me.
Akira Tozawa was not with him either, so it was at least I couldn't tell. You know, he may have been one of the guys under the masks, but
he was driving the car.
it's funny is a lot changes. Nothing significant. You know, I mean, main events on both shows are still the main events that are going to be going forward for a while. We do get the Blood Money pay-per-view coming up in a couple of weeks, which they're building towards, and I know I should stop saying that, DC, right?
No,
I honestly think that should just be the name.
Yeah.
Blood. Like WWE presents Blood Money.
Blood Money.
That's a great name. Perfect. That's a great pay-per-view name.
Sure beats like Great circa, Balls of Fire.
Great Balls
it's
of Fire.
It's a circa 1999 era of pay-per-view.
It's October now, so we can just call it Bad Blood Money.
Bad
Blood. Oh, there we go.
Well, Bad Blood was the pay-per-view that replaced King of the Ring originally. So, you know, and we are getting King of the Ring at Bad Blood Money event coming up in another week.
This is
week.
Not King of the Ring.
No, this is not King.
I hate. That was such a good pay-per-view back in the day. If it's not all on the same night, I don't want it.
No, that's true. I agree. And I mean, I like tournaments and everything, but King of the Ring always was the one night deal. That was the deal with it, you know, and they haven't done that even when they gave it to Baron Corbin last year. You know, it wasn't a one night deal. You might not remember that.
It hasn't been that way since like 2002.
Yeah. And they've only given
a long
time. They've only given, I was reading the history on the King of the Ring, cause I was curious why I don't remember like, you know, the last 15 years of it. It's probably cause there was only been like three or four in the last 15 years. But you remember Shinsuke Nakamura actually took the crown from Baron Corbin after he had won it, and now Shinsuke has bequeathed the crown down so for the next King of the Ring. But that being said, yeah, this is not your mom's King of the Ring, and the Queen of the Ring, or what did they call it again? Queen's Crown, and that started.
Now, can we talk about that? So yeah. In addition to what Kirby was saying, like. Clearly, after the draft, you see that WWE really doesn't care about the women's tag division. But seeing what they're doing with the Queen's Crown, and apparently, unless your name is Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair, they don't give a damn about their women either.
You because mean like how they have two matches for that, is Nat
and
Leia?
Each one goes like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. The matches were like, you blink your eyes,
they were done. The two matches, right. Between the two matches, it was like 3.5 minutes. Like, they didn't give them any time on TV. And do they not trust him, or do they just not care? You know,
I'd say 75% don't care.
Yeah,
they use name recognition when it comes to the King of the Ring and stuff like that, only for what it is, name recognition. And because they don't really follow the rules that they set up in the beginning for any of these style pay-per-views or matches, you know. And so, I mean, listen. Yes, King of the Ring used to have a couple shorties, you know, but you'd get like King Kong Bundy versus, you know, SD Jones or something. And, you know, that would be a short match and stuff. But last night we had national TV and they had two matches that, you know, like you said, went 3.5 minutes. It's kind of, you know, it's not giving them a fair shake. And, and you think the favorites kind of got upset sort of during, I think, last night, because it's like I wouldn't expect the winners from either of those matches. So, Carmella, what, you know, I don't know. Nevertheless. Yeah. That's going to happen at the, Crown Jewel, pay-per-view coming up, in a couple of weeks. If you're home at noon, you can watch that. But, so I didn't feel any significance when I was watching SmackDown last night about the draft too. You know, it's like, you know,
well, the other thing too, is with the draft, it don't start till after Crown Jewel. So who cares until the end of October?
True. I mean, you know,
we're gonna why not just wait till after Crown Jewel to have the draft?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. I mean, the whole original point when they first instituted the draft was to shake things up, you know, freshen up things. But as stale as creative has been, it felt like zero effort went into this. It was just something to try to attract viewers. And that's the only reason they did it before Crown Jewel, because it does make zero sense. If you're going to do a draft and nothing is effective until 2 to 3 weeks from when you do it.
Yeah. So I was wondering, it's like
totally pointless.
They mentioned that on Raw. They go, well, we've got a couple more weeks for these guys to show up still. It's like, what do you mean? You got a couple more weeks. What's the draft for? And then, but then again, they throw the rules out the window anyways. Remember, like I mentioned a little while ago, that we had the New Day show up on Raw, and then all of a sudden they were a Raw tag team, even though they were drafted to SmackDown a year ago. And we're on SmackDown for, I don't know, 11 months, you know, before Big E won the title, then they showed up. So they make their own rules up, and they don't mean anything. They wonder why the ratings are at an all-time low. And I'm serious, they're seeing numbers that, I think if they were going head to head with AEW, I think that then you would know that they were worried about what's going on in other companies, because AEW is not that far behind and actually beat them in their own demo a couple times in the last month. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I was just gonna say shout out to David Bixenspan, one of the top like wrestling journalists, Twitter guys out there. Cause I peeked down at my laptop last week while doing the 2CW pay-per-view in Syracuse. And as soon as Daniel Garcia versus Dalton Castle versus Colin Delaney was starting, he just tweeted that with F the draft. didn't need to watch it anymore at that point. I just don't. Yeah. I mean, at least it's not like an NHL draft where you've got like a couple people that'll play the next season and the rest you'll see years down the road or maybe never. So just trying to find a positive, but there really aren't any. But I agree with them keeping Roman Reigns on SmackDown. At least he's the franchise player on Fox right now. So I don't think there's any need to switch that up specifically, but otherwise, I don't know.
Well, we got a whole handful of people watching on our Facebook feed right now, asking questions, and I'll just jump in and someone posted what's going on with MLW. I was going to make it's in the news someplace. MLW had a show on Vice TV this past week to promote their pay-per-view coming up, you know, as well as having a 1-hour show on national TV, which was pretty cool. But there was some news about MLW and WWE being upset that a smaller company attached to Fox was going to run their pay-per-view. Tubi, I think it was, or Ubi or something like that.
And
WWE nixed it. You know, it's like, hey. But Fox has also been very upset at WWE for mentioning the Peacock on Fox broadcast because you're promoting, you know, it's all, you know what, the WWE is going to have a terrible relationship with one of these companies, either NBC or Fox, by the end of these contracts, because no one's happy with anything they're doing. But MLW's got a pay-per-view coming up. You know, I mean, we've got Bound for Glory with Impact coming up, and they've got a show tonight too. It's a all women's show on Impact Plus, I believe it's called, their streaming service. So, which is pretty cool because they're doing a Monsters Ball dedication to Daphne. That's going to be going on during the show tonight too. But hey, we got a bunch of people just sending messages to Rampage is going to be on TNT. Rampage is still going to be on TNT as far as we know. Yeah. Rampage, yeah. But we're going to get Dynamite moving to, and that was another, and let's talk about AEW now. I'm tired of talking about the draft. Draft sucks. See you later. Nobody cares. You know, it's like they don't have a pay-per-view that's significant for us until the end of November now. So, I mean, I'm not counting the, you know, bad blood money or whatever we're going to call it. That's what we should call it now. Bad blood money. Because it truly is not good blood money.
We could call it the Khashoggi Cup.
Yeah, the Goldberg Invitational. There, that's what we're going to call it now.
can we take it a step further?
Okay.
WWE presents Bad Blood Money, hosted by Bad Bunny.
Oh, no.
I like Bad Bunny though. He's one of the guys I actually enjoyed his work. So,
shouldn't this be like the show where they finally have like the ladder match for $1 million, like one of those gimmick matches, but it's actually real this time? They got all this money to throw around. Like, maybe I'd tune in for that. Probably not.
Just remember the crown jewel in the past. And I remember the very first one with all the people with the comfy chairs around the ringside. Yes. They had him turned around looking in the other direction while the matches were going on. Cause it was like a cocktail party or something for all them out in the crowd, you know? So it's like, this is, I don't know how significant this is to where it's going, but that's how they treat it. It's like, yeah, we got these comfy chairs. We're just going to turn them around. We don't care what's going on in the ring, you know? But the people up in the nosebleeds love it. You know, those are the ones they interviewed during the show. It's like,
and don't they give away the tickets? It's like free for everybody to go in, or is that,
I'm not sure how that works. Because
I'm sure they I'm almost 100% sure that they paper that arena every time they're there. That it's not paid viewers, I guess, or paid attendance.
No,
maybe they've got one of those like punch card things. Like once you kidnap five American journalists and you get your punch card and then you get your ticket to come in and see the show. I'm sorry.
And if you can get them out of the building without anybody seeing it, you get a little bit, you get a bonus. Sorry. Okay, hold on. We got a couple of messages on Facebook.
I'm failing to detect any lies in anything that's being said.
Yes.
Okay. So someone, Tom Brown suggests they call it the last drop of your blood money. Michael Partham mentioned, I clearly recall AEW promoting on social media that Dynamite will be going to TBS in January, but Rampage stays on TNT. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. But you know,
I just wonder what's going to happen in terms of like Rampage has this 10 p.m. Eastern time slot, but I'm assuming we get to that point, like they're going to have a lot of NBA and NHL lead-ins. So is there going to be an issue with like, are we really going to start on time with Rampage too?
I'm guessing not. So. I'm guessing not, though. I mean, who knows?
But I mean, if they do 7 o'clock games that don't go into overtime or whatever, fine. But if they got to, if TNT cares more about their stupid post shows and stuff, then who knows?
Yeah, and they did. I mean, I remember recording before when it was interrupted by a basketball post game show that kind of like took the first half hour of the show off on my DVR, even though it was set to record at the regular start time. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out. But, you know, I think wrestling, you know, I guess it's a good thing because they actually incorporate into like even the post game shows. The guys will talk about what's up next and mention wrestling. And, you know, I mean, now we're getting Charles Barkley promoting hockey on TNT. So it's like I've been trying to figure that one out. Charles Barkley can do anything. I don't care. I hope he comes wrestle with an AEW. That would be nice. Maybe him versus Shaq or something, you know.
I don't need him to wrestle. I'd like to see him do commentary because it would be terrible.
Terrible. Well, I will say that I think he's friends with Ric Flair too. So it's like, I know they've been seen together. One last note before I will not talk about the draft anymore. One last thing, Gable Stevenson, the guy who won the gold medal in the Olympics in the heavyweight division, was drafted to Raw. Which they had the video of from his kitchen, his mom's kitchen, and they were celebrating everything. And
what will his name be?
I'm guessing Gable Stevenson. Maybe he'll become part of Gable, Gable's group, you know?
Saving so he need to like train to be a pro wrestler first?
Probably. You probably do have to do some training. I mean, but I'm guessing that, you know, yeah, it's like, okay.
Hey, it worked for Goldberg.
And also Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Kurt Angle actually went and trained to be a pro wrestler. He didn't jump right to the WWF.
No, that's like, true. And I'm guessing Gable's probably training right now because, I mean, they signed him a while ago since the Olympics. So he's probably...
He really just has to learn how to throw a worked punch and not kill someone with a German suplex, and he'll be fine.
Or not kill someone with a hold in which it will make you not pass out. I'm sure he's going to have he's going to have some sort of finisher. I'm guessing that
it'll involve the ankles or the arms. I don't think they're going to let him do any choke holds.
You never know.
Does anybody trust WWE to just not try to totally replicate what they did with Kurt Angle with him?
Oh, they're going to call him Kurt Angle Jr. They're going to have him come out with the gold medals. They're going to have him come out with the singlet, and they might even give him the theme music.
Maybe that's
Kurt Angle's illegitimate.
You
song.
Suck.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? I don't even want to think of the storyline leading up to that. So we'll move on to AEW in Philadelphia this week. AEW in the, what is it, Licorius Center? Is that what it is?
The Leocoris Center.
I've been there before, and I spent a whole weekend in the place, and I couldn't say it. I kept calling it the Licorice Center. So
I remember before my freshman year at Temple asking a question. God, this is going to date me. I'm pretty sure it was on LiveJournal asking for somebody to pronounce it because I had no idea. Because there's also like Leocoris Walk and stuff, but one of the former presidents of Temple. But yeah, go Owls. I'm just disappointed they didn't put Bryce's ref jersey up in the rafters, retire it as now the most famous wrestling alum from Temple. So
now wait, did he actually wrestle for Temple?
No, but
he could wrestle at like what, lightweight or something.
Yeah. Lightweight. He put a mask on.
He's a small guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, it was a fun week. I saw the rating numbers from Rochester. There was a lot of complaints cause it dropped both shows, Dynamite and Rampage had drops. I don't know if that was because there was competition up against them. Rochester was a big big tribute to Brody Lee. I think a lot of, and I don't think that had anything to do with the drop, but if I don't understand, but nevertheless, nobody was complaining.
Well, I think they didn't really have that for the Rochester show. They didn't really have a ton announced to get regular wrestling fans to tune in. I mean, unless it was just for Jungle Boy and Adam Cole, like there really wasn't, I don't know, you could say Sammy and Miro, whatever, but it didn't have that same star power as like Punk, Danielson, all the stuff they had been doing like the week before.
True. So, true.
I kind of expected it to drop there.
Yeah. And true. And I mean, I think with Danielson wrestling to start off last week's Rampage, and by the way, that was a fantastic match, by the way. It's like, it's nice to be able to see that in real life when we were there. But I think that, and he did finish with his finisher is going to be the cattle mutilation, which something WWE would never let him use. He had a funny story when he was on the air with us, and I'm just going to recall it very briefly, but he was talking about how it got its name, and he's like, he was talking with Low Key. Do you guys remember the story? He's talking with Low Key, and he was using it, but he didn't know what it was called, and Low Key goes, that's cattle mutilation, and you know, in Low Key voice, and Daniel Bryan goes, what? And he goes, it's cattle mutilation. And so that's how he got his name, is pretty much Low Key named it. So, but nevertheless, he did use it, and it was a fun match. And, you know, we got him again this week. We got Punk this week on Dynamite. But it was a fun show from Philly. Philly crowds are always a fun show when there's a live wrestling show there, and they're not booing Roman Reigns as he wins the Royal Rumble. It was, I think they put on a solid show this week. I haven't seen the numbers, but it definitely, you know, they're, and then we did get Punk again. You know, I was kind of disappointed we didn't get to see Punk. Really didn't do any when he was in Rochester. All he did was do commentary. So we didn't really get him in the ring addressing people or anything. He just kind of ran around the ring once and then went back up there.
I'm already sick of that, to be honest.
Me too.
We'll hear from CM Punk next week on Dynamite. We'll hear from CM Punk. Like, I don't want him wrestling every week, and I don't want him cutting the same promo every week, whatever. Like, I really obviously enjoyed his match last night. I'm less excited about his match next week on Rampage with Matt Sydal, which I think could be a really good match. But I don't know if you saw like that tweet from Tony Khan that was directed at WWE about how they're running head to head for a half hour next week. And Tony Khan just like, we've got this amazing lineup and can't wait to finally go head to head with you and stuff. And then like, I look at the Rampage lineup for this coming week and I'm like, this to me looks like the weakest Rampage lineup yet, unless people care about American Top Team, whatever. I just don't care.
Well, I mean, I do. Jorge Masvidal is going to be involved. Yeah. I think there's some guy. I mean, I because I'm an MMA fan, but I like, yeah. Believe me, what's his name? Dan Lambert. Man, I'm loving it because he knows how to cut a promo, and he's not even a wrestling guy. I mean, he comes out and he just, you know, just tears down the town he's in. And something going, you know, it's interesting is I was briefly listening, and don't judge me by saying this, but I was listening to Disco Inferno talking about CM Punk coming over to AEW, and Disco Inferno was saying that Punk is a glorified mid-card guy with the guys he's been taking on since he got there. He feels that Punk's trying to elevate the mid-card talent, you know, and I think about it, who he's wrestled so far, Daniel Garcia. Which, by the way, that finisher was crazy last night in that match. I mean, they did the pile driver, which scared the crap out of me as it was. I've seen a lot of stuff in wrestling this past week that scared me. There was that, and there was also who went through the table off the ladder.
A Pack.
Oh my God, that scared the crap out of me because he looked like he went right on his shoulder going through the table, and someone landing on top of him as it was going on, but. But Disco Inferno, you know, and I kind of thought about it for a while. I said Disco Inferno was saying that CM Punk hasn't really gone after. He's not doing what Daniel Bryan's doing. Daniel Bryan's going after the top guy as he comes in. CM Punk's, you know, he's trying to elevate the mid card talent, but he would much rather, you know, with all the hype about Punk, have him go after like a title or, you know, a bigger name. What do you guys think about that? With Punk only having like what, 3 matches now under his belt with AEW.
Well, I disagree that he's going against nothing but mid-carders, because Darby Allin, as much as I'm not all that into Darby Allin, he's a main eventer. He's not a mid-card guy. Even though he had a mid-card, quote-unquote mid-card title, he's a main eventer. He's someone that people tune in to watch. I don't think he's a mid-card guy. And Punk's philosophy when he was a wrestler for WWE was he didn't want to see part-time guys go right to the main event. So he's basically living according to his own philosophy, which is working with the guys that are on their way up, and he will eventually make his way up, I'm sure, in the main event. But he's not going to bury the guys beneath him. He's going to actually help bring them up. And Disco Inferno, forget him.
Well, I will say Daniel Garcia is wrestling in Buffalo on Sunday, if you're within driving range, right? He's in the ESW at the Riverworks on Sunday afternoon before the Bills game.
Against Davey Richards.
Him and Davey Richards tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the week that Garcia is having is insane.
Seriously.
Like he wrestled that 2CW show last Friday, and then you can say that match was second of the night because we wanted to let him get out of there so he could head back to get to the airport by 4 a.m. to catch a flight to L.A. to wrestle like a six man last weekend. Then this week he wrestles CM Punk in a match that was taped on Wednesday in Philly. He wrestles Alex Shelley in Worcester on Thursday. Last night, I haven't watched it yet, he wrestled Minoru Suzuki in San Francisco.
Wow.
Then I think he's off today to travel back to then wrestle Davey Richards tomorrow afternoon.
He sleeps on the day off. You know?
No, but I've never seen anybody have that kind of a week. Like, that's ridiculous.
How old is he?
23.
Man, that kid's got a
recently
bright future.
23.
Yeah.
Hopefully he stays healthy.
And he will be in Buffalo tomorrow, 3 o'clock, I think it is. 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Yep. 3 o'clock start. And also, 2.0 is going to be there too, right? No. Am I? No.
No.
I'm trying to think of who else is going to be there. I saw some other names on the card. Maybe not 2.0, but I know Danny
Ace Romero, Bill Collier, To Infinity and Beyond, a bunch of like top indie names, but that's like the headliner.
And
Garcia is the ESW champion. He has been for years at this point.
and they wanted to do it early so people could watch the Bills game because it's a Bills Sunday night game this week against Kansas City.
I know a lot of people would just be staying there to watch the Bills game right there.
They only got 400.
It's enough time to get out of there too.
They got 400 TVs in there, so I'm guessing you could watch it from pretty much anywhere. But wow, that's a crazy schedule for him. And maybe Disco Inferno's kind of being a douche about it,
when is he not? If you're gonna call him that, then I could just call him Douchko Inferno.
Glenn
Lamberti.
He's on brand for him.
No, I don't. To me, I don't agree with him at all, because the thing is too, like, Danielson has stepped in and he's basically immediately been in the main event picture. We also saw the expected return of Hangman Adam Page this week.
Beautiful.
And he's the one that's supposed to be challenging for the title going forward. You can't put all these guys, you can't basically be TNA from a decade ago or whatever and bring these like big names in and just like immediately they just replace everybody. Like, I agree with the point about WWE and the part-timers and all that and how sick we've been of that stuff. But I mean, TNA and other places too. It's just like, oh, now we got our new top guys. Like, you guys just go to the side. Like, no, I would much, much prefer to see CM Punk wrestling guys like Powerhouse Hobbs, Daniel Garcia, Darby Allin, than see him go right to the main event. I don't need him to ever hold the AEW title. That's not what that company is about. And I think like they're trying to do something where like the fans, with AEW fans, pay very close attention to the product. They're very, very loyal, including to the homegrown guys or whatever, the guys who've been there since day one. I don't think you can put the title on any of those people immediately. And the same honestly goes for Ruby Soho too, in my mind. I don't think like she's immediately at the top of the division, like maybe a Danielson would be on the men's side, but I don't want that at all. I mean, I think, and if anything, like Jericho has been kind of the mix of the guy in that company who has done what he can to elevate like newer guys and stuff, but also has been on top at the same time. With Punk, I don't want him cutting promos every week. I don't want him wrestling every week. I think honestly, like, I didn't think we'd already see this many matches from him at this point. Cause I think it's something that could wear out its welcome or just not be as special like pretty quick. So I don't want that at all. I mean, I just want to see him wrestle these matches that we haven't seen before. The same thing. I don't know if Punk and Matt Sydal would have wrestled in WWE, but like maybe that's why that match isn't as intriguing to me this coming week, because I want the ones that like we know we've never ever seen.
True. And I will say something too. Punk has been on the sidelines for 7 years. So maybe Punk wants to ease in getting into the company as well, because he hasn't, you know, he has to reinvent himself sort of with, and you know, it is getting old, him jumping in the crowd and like, you know, and but he says as long as the crowd keeps reacting the way they're reacting, he's going to keep doing that. But
well, and I'll say too, like when he's done commentary, he's really good. Like, so mixing him in on that once in a while to keep him involved, like I'm all for that. I don't need to see him wrestle every week. Is this all, I mean, Sydal will be his fourth match. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think with how big that roster is, how limited they are in terms of how many matches they can do, how many feuds they can do, whatever. Like, I'd rather see him wrestling on pay-per-views and maybe once or twice a month on top of that. Like, I don't want him wrestling every week.
Let me ask you this.
I definitely think he's the biggest draw they've brought in. But the problem is they're kind of pushing him so much that it's overexposed. And kind of to some of the points you guys have already made, I honestly felt that reaction he got from the Philadelphia crowd on Wednesday, like to me, that was an indicator of, okay, this is close to running its course. This, I'm happy to be back. I'm going to come out and talk for a while, Punk. So I think they're at the point now where they need to pump the brakes and either start to limit his exposure to stuff like Artis was saying, or let's be honest, he's better as a bad guy. The happy Punk thing can't last.
No, I was thinking he was going to, remember when we talked right after his Chicago debut, I said, you know, he could easily have gone to do heel as soon as he gets out of Chicago to wherever he's going. I think that Daniel Bryan has mentioned the same thing about how much easier it would be for him to do a heel character. You know, maybe Daniel Bryan's the guy who's going to get Kenny Omega over for good, you know, not saying Kenny's not over, but I think Daniel Bryan, you know, could, you know, maybe he'll heel out on Kenny Omega at some point. But I do want to mention that when Punk would, remember when he was like having that little tete-a-tete with Taz and his guys, I was kind of scared for a minute that we were going to be stuck in this, in that realm for a while with CM Punk, you know, because Taz has got a few guys and including a son who's out there who I, you know, I don't know how good a wrestler he is or not. I haven't really seen him.
Have you seen him do a judo throw? It's pretty impressive. I don't remember who it was. He did a judo throw outside of the ring and it was perfection. It was awesome.
Well, of course, because his dad is, you know, Taz, you know, so
yeah.
But well, it's interesting that we have some thoughts on CM Punk, because it's like, hopefully, maybe, you know, they'll listen and see that and not to overexpose him and whatnot. But I think
AEW is a company where they've got like a lot of times it's like, we're just going to give you this really good wrestling match. It doesn't have to be an extended storyline or anything like that. But I mean, along the lines of what we're talking about, like, I don't. Yes, we all want to see more of Danielson and Omega. That was awesome the first time around. But, like, don't we need, if it's going to be Paige at the pay-per-view, like, don't we need to just focus on that? Like, because that's less than a month away, that pay-per-view now? Like, so well, I just don't, sometimes I don't like the like, everybody's in the mix thing. Like, I don't need a huge extended feud with Danielson if he's not going to be the guy that's contending next. I don't know.
Well, I'm not even sure if it's going to be Hangman Page technically contending next, because they announced last night the title contender tournament for facing Omega at Full Gear.
Well, they said champion. So technically what can happen is Hangman can win the title
and that's
at Full Gear, and whoever wins that tournament ends up facing Hangman. And I think it's time to belt Adam Page. He was hot when he left for it to be, you know, be a dad. And he was hot when he came back, and they need to strike now or it's going to get really tired. Him not getting him chasing that belt. It's time to belt him. I think, and I think what can happen is, Danielson can get involved somehow, not have a screwy finish. He can actually stop along with the Dark Order or whatever, stop the, you know, the Elite from interfering, and Adam Page can legitimately win the title. I think that'll blow the roof off whatever arena they're in for Full Gear. And then Omega and Danielson can keep going. They don't need a title in that feud. They really don't. And Paige can work with somebody else. There are plenty of guys that are ready to be contenders for the title and have Paige be a fighting champion, win a bunch of stuff, and eventually lead to maybe a Danielson turn, or Danielson wants to fight for the title. He's earned his shot, or Punk, or somebody else. I think it's time to put that belt on Adam Page. As much as Omega's been incredible as champion, he doesn't need the title to feud with Danielson. And I think the Danielson feud needs to run its course.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of that. I want to know, like, how much are they going to really build Page back up in the next few weeks? Because I agree, like, when he, right before he left, he was super, super hot. Everybody wanted him to be the next champion. I think everybody still feels that way. I just, like, after just one appearance so far, I'm not sold on, like, all right, let's give him the title right this second. Right. I think if you have a month to work with, you need to really book that well over the next month to make people care as much as they did before he left. And I think that's easy for them to do because the fans do love Paige. It makes sense for him to be the next champion. We've all expected that for so, so long, for that to be how this all plays out. So I think there's a way to do that properly.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Like, the thought of Omega and Danielson away from a title is perfect. It doesn't need to have a title. Danielson doesn't need to have a title anytime soon. Like, that, I love the thought process of, like, let's just put some seeds out there right now. And then once Omega gets away from the title, then we move in that direction.
You know, you do make a lot of sense with that. How many times have were we cheering for anybody to take that title off of Kenny Omega at every pay-per-view in the last couple of years, you know? And then we'd have to come back and eat crow on the show the next week saying,
I mean, I haven't wanted him to lose it yet. I think I want him to lose it to Paige. And I think that's, like, I didn't want him to lose it to Christian. I didn't want, like, these other situations. I like that the title isn't just a hot potato, you know, like a yep. WWF Attitude Era type thing or sure. something. So I think this makes perfect sense. The only thing is that's what I really want. Like, there's so much backstory with Omega and Paige that they can do it in the next few weeks, but I just think that's got to be the main focus of their entire program. Like, show that history, get them immediately, like, build this up, because it could be the most built up match that AEW has had yet, period.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're not there as of this week from just coming back and winning a ladder match.
And the overall patience with the storyline to let this build, honestly, like, the birth of Hangman Page's, you know, child happened at the perfect time. It allowed him to step away, kind of not get too carried away with continuously losing the opportunity. Because obviously the biggest thing with the baby face is always the chase. Half the time, the chase is always better than the actual title run.
Absolutely.
And how many times can you lose your opportunity throughout the chase? So him stepping away for a month and a half made him come back and makes this chase for the title even better. You know, just like Rob's saying, you got about a month to build up the story to get the full gear. I love everything about it right now. The overall patience of letting this build. I mean, this goes back years that this whole feud has been starting.
I do want to mention one thing. In that ladder match on TV this past week, they kind of did something that I've seen the WWE do before too. They had Paige go one-on-one with good guys and bad guys during that match to see what kind of crowd reaction we were going to get from them. And I think it was him and Moxley at one point where, yep. you know, throwing back and forth. And I think the crowd was just super loud when that was going on. And that was nice to see because, you know, Adam Page doesn't have an alliance with real, I mean, he's aligned with the Dark Order, but he doesn't have a good or bad alliance. He could be on either. He's like a very Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of character where, you know, he's out to protect himself, and anybody who wants to get in his way, he will take on. So we could get face versus, and I consider him a face versus face with him, or face versus heel as a champion. And you could probably go a good year with a run with him, with all the people in that company right now.
And I think Moxley is on the edge. Like, he's going to turn. And I'm okay with that. I think he's ready to turn. And he could be the guy who wins the tournament. I don't know who's going to be in it. But if Moxley wins, I think a Moxley-Page feud is money. Because obviously I would have Page come out on top in that. And that would solidify him as a main eventer. by beating Moxley, who was the champion for a long time. I would like to see him turn Moxley because I think he's getting tired of being the good guy. He just wants to be the bad guy again. And I think it's perfect for him.
Yeah.
It's the right time.
And this is a big step in a direction for AEW. I mean, you see your world title holders, Jericho, established. Moxley, Ambrose, established. Omega, everybody knows who Omega is. I mean, everybody knows who Hangman Page is. But this is your first kind of like young, up-and-comer kind of guy that's really going to be now holding the strap on AEW. So this is really going to tell, you know, starting to build up these younger stars.
Well,
when you look at the rest of the company too, like we're at a point now where the TNT champion is homegrown. The tag champions weren't known a ton by people outside of AEW before. Like all these, we're at the situation now where like the collage of champions isn't like, oh, former WWE, former WWE. So I totally agree with that. My question, because I know it was mentioned there and I was going to rewind to check when they mentioned the tournament last night, did they say that the finals of the tournament would be at the pay-per-view or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my, so it doesn't mean that person's not wrestling for the title on the pay-per-view or anything.
Nope. No, just, yeah. The finals.
Yeah. That was,
and I mean, some people are theorizing that the finals will be like Cole versus Danielson. I would much rather see Adam Cole versus Danielson without that sort of stipulation. I don't know how we would work around not putting them in that tournament, but I trust Tony Khan. He's got so much goodwill behind him that any mistakes he makes will be forgiven to a fault. But I don't know how the tournament will shape up. I would like to see Moxley win the tournament because I want to see Moxley turn heel. Maybe he can win dirty or something like that. But I don't know. I'm not booking, but I'm exactly – I don't care. Like, everything I'm thinking in my head sounds great to me at least. But – I trust what Tony Khan's going to do because he understands the storytelling aspect of pro wrestling, and he hasn't disappointed us really at all since the company started.
I'm just kind of to that point, Jay-Z, I think it's, and this is why, you know, my AEW intake is up and my WWE intake is way down, is because when you compare the two companies, AEW has created an environment and a situation where they have endless possibilities, and maybe one or two of them is something you absolutely don't want to see. Whereas you look at what WWE is doing, they have a whole bunch of possibilities. There's maybe one you want to see, and you know that's not the one you're going to get.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, because when you think about it, like in AEW right now, they are overflowing with main event caliber people who could hold that world title. And only one person can hold it at a time. But there are so many feud possibilities. There's so many next contender possibilities where I do feel like the way, like WWE has the talent pool to do something like that, but they don't build people up or keep them at a level or whatever, where the world champion on Raw or SmackDown, like you look at the rest of the roster for that show and you're like, all right, well, I guess they can contend or they can have an eighth shot at it, rematch, whatever. There's not that same kind of like huge competition to be the top person.
Well, yeah, in the division. Who the heck's going to wrestle Roman Reigns after Brock Lesnar? Look at the roster. Look at SmackDown. Who's a world title contender on SmackDown?
The only person they brought over with the draft would be Drew. And I'm sorry, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I think we got that already, didn't we? I thought we got that on Raw.
I mean, so we've seen it a bunch of times, just not for the strap. Yeah. None of it was for the title. So, I mean, that's your only different. And, you know, I mean, he's your only contender. I mean, after that, who you got? You're going to see Cesaro again? You gave Cesaro the one title chance, and then he hasn't been on TV in how long? I mean, Sheamus is a heel. You're not going to do heel versus heel, are you?
No.
I mean, who else on SmackDown can legitimately contend for Reigns' title?
This is the problem.
This is the problem. Is that WWE, they don't have a consistent vision for the entire picture of the WWE. They only have like tunnel vision for
the main
Roman
events.
Reigns.
Yeah, main event.
And they don't build the other people up to make them feel like they're a legitimate threat to the title. And that's a problem, because you have all this talent and you don't make them look good at all. Even when they go up against Roman Reigns, he buries them. Yeah. When was his last competitive match?
No,
a competitive feud where you actually believe that he could potentially lose.
I think before he double pinned Adjin Daniel Bryan, I thought Daniel Bryan was taking him to task for every time they wrestled, but still would lose though. Yep. You're right.
And a little bit of food for thought here. I mean, Hardy kind of teased a little bit this past weekend when he got drafted to SmackDown about, you know, some other character. You know, he's over to SmackDown. After Drew McIntyre, do we see potentially a run for Hardy against Reigns?
I don't think any of the guys coming over, Sheamus or him, either of those guys are going to be put in a main event. It's hard, especially after the way they were beaten down and mid-carded on Raw this past year. You know,
do I feel nervous that they're going to do something like they did with a recent-ish long-term title run where wasn't it after all those months, The Rock that took it away from CM Punk?
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
The Rock comes back out of nowhere and takes it from Roman.
Rock is theorized to be the main event. Theorized to be the main event of next year's WrestleMania. No. I guess they have to start sometime with that. But let's move on to something else. I mean, that's some deep conversation. And I'll tell you one thing about not being on the radio, but doing it the way we're doing it now is the listeners are going to benefit from us getting deeper into certain topics and actually talking about everything instead of having the time cut us off. So, you know, with news and commercials and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd like to get commercials. We're all doing this for free right now, but you know, we are allowed to get deeper into our thoughts on what's going on, but the big announcement this past week for AEW ended up being the TBS title that is going to debut when, was that me?
No, that was me. I hit a button in my car.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. If you're watching now on Facebook Live, you see Jay-Z is the one who's in the wheels. I'm trying to think. Is your moonroof open? I can't tell. But
no, it's the windshield. Oh, okay. It's the windshield.
But
I don't have a moonroof.
Oh, the AEW announced the TBS title that because they're moving to TBS with Dynamite starting in January. It's going to be a women's title, which I think is pretty cool, but it's like, how do they do this? How do they, you know, what, you know, I've never seen like two women's heavyweight titles, you know, I'm not sure exactly how they're going. They already have a women's heavyweight title holder, but they're not going to section it off to a different show like WWE does, you know, one women's title holder on Raw, one women's title holder on SmackDown. What do you think this TBS title is going to be? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be like an X Division title or something? You know, anyone have any thoughts on that?
I mean, nothing wrong with them introducing a secondary title to that women's division. I think that was the smart move. And unlike with a company with WWE, where they're splitting their shows amongst competing networks, having TNT and TBS be under the same umbrella, you're going to be able to have that free flow back and forth.
So it's going
to
be like a women's TV title then maybe it can only be,
it's going to be the equivalent of the TNT title.
Okay.
I think it's going to be your workhorse title.
Yeah. And I think,
go ahead, Furby.
I was going to say, I think this works, especially right now when you got a up and coming company with a surplus of women's talent that's not really used on television often. I mean, they do a great job of using the women's division, women talent, but a lot of them it's the same people over and over and over again. We see Britt Baker, we see Thunder Rosa, we know for a long time it was Sheeta. Now it gives, you know, girls like Allie, Ty Conti, Anna Jay, Ruby Soho, you know, Sky Blue has been used a lot on Dark and Elevation. Just a whole bunch of other crop of talent now that you get essentially your second tier, your mid-card women's title. When in wrestling, what other main promotion has a secondary title for women? I mean, recently we've seen a lot of women's tag teams, but this is a singles title. So this is a big deal, I think, amongst women's wrestling. And I love everything about it. It you know, you like I said, I named off a bunch of women talent, and it really gives an opportunity for a lot of other women to shine.
Well, and they kind of like for a long time, they had the NWA women's title being defended on their show. So now this is just giving them their own secondary title instead of the NWA women's title. I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to be it's the kind of thing where they're giving
they have such a stacked women's division. There's a lot of great women wrestlers there. And you can have a Jade Cargill even could win the TBS title and I'd be okay with it. It's that big of a roster. I'm happy about that. I think it's good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's perfect because you got a Jade Cargill who's undefeated. Are you going to immediately put her, not immediately, because she's built herself up, but are you going to put her up against Britt Baker and then have her lose right now? I mean, I don't think you can do that match because Baker, they spent all this time building her up as the women's world champion. You can't have her lose the strap. You built up this big physical character in Jade Cargill, undefeated. Are you really going to put that one in the loss column right now? I mean, I feel like at that point, you kind of lose all the credibility of what you did building up Jade Cargill. So
I would love to see AEW get to the point where we can have a legitimate women's tag division. I think if there's, I'm in favor of this belt. I like that it's kind of different than what we've seen before. I don't think that I think at this point they're already not dedicating enough of their TV time to the women's division. So adding another belt to the mix, I think like that's my main concern. You have to do more than one segment a week or one segment on Dynamite and one match on Rampage, whatever. Like they've got to get a higher percentage of the TV time in order for this to truly work. I kind of also would have been fine if they had just continue to sign more women and done a legitimate women's tag division to really put WWE's to shame. I mean, obviously like Ty J is kind of like starting to establish themselves as a women's tag team, things like that, where they could do it. And that could be good experience for a lot of these really inexperienced women that they have on the roster that we only see pop up here and there, Abaddon, whoever, like there's so many people in that circumstance. So I love the idea of this title. You've got to increase the amount of time they get, or you're just going to be further watering down what you already have. Because like right now, like I don't really think Britt has had, like it was such a big build for her to get that title. But since then, like I think we still could see more from her on TV or getting matches or whatever. Like, yeah, like here's another like quick little backstage thing where she's talking to Tony and, you know, Jamie Hayter and Rebel are just standing there, whatever. Like, okay, but like, who's she feuding with right now? You know,
unfortunately, I agree with you. I think she is the one that has been hurt the most from talent coming over, like yes. Brian Danielson, CM Punk. They're taking away that mic time that Britt was having beforehand that led up to this run, and now she's kind of taking a back seat. Does that hurt her caliber of a title holder? It feels like it, because what has she done? I mean, in this business, it's a lot of what have you done for me lately? I feel like she's done nothing since she's won the title. I mean,
I think she might be hurt. That's why I was thinking she might have got injured, and they like to hide those things by taking people off TV for a week or two or just having backstage vignettes. Well,
she's been working with a broken wrist, right? For a while.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. I think they should be giving at least one segment per hour of TV to the women, yes. Whether it be a promo and a match on Dynamite and then a match on Rampage, something, giving them at least one segment. So that's, you know, 5-10 minutes per hour is completely fair. Or more. I mean, give them a main event here and there. They did it with the Lights Out match with Britt and Thunder Rosa. I mean, that was phenomenal. So a lot of them are very good and can carry a main event. It just, you have to build them up to that point by giving them the time. And you're right. The time for the women has been affected by the fact that they just signed Brian Danielson, Adam Cole, CM Punk, all this stuff is happening. Unfortunately, because Adam Cole is affecting his girlfriend or fiance's professional career a little bit. But
I'm never going to take, big fan of women's wrestling and want to see them grow that division. I want them to get more TV time, but I think maybe subconsciously, if I'm watching a 2-hour Dynamite or I'm watching a pay-per-view, and there's only one women's match, to me, it feels like, okay, we're hitting our quota here. We've got the one match that you're going to get from that division. For me to truly believe that you care about that division, which I think they do, but for me to truly believe that, they've got to do more than one match per show that's more than an hour. Like, it can't just be like, okay, here's the women's match you get this week. Because then, right, at that point, it already feels like it's an afterthought or whatever. They're just squeezing it in because they got to get the one in there. Like, make us all care more about the division by doing two matches from that division every week on Dynamite, whatever it is.
Okay, so I want to kind of move us ahead on another little bit of topic. But I want to get off AEW here for a second. But I do want to mention a couple things. Bobby Fish, great match. It was a fun match on TV this past week. And of course, Sammy Guevara defending his TNT title against Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish being signed, I believe, by AEW, or announced that he is All Elite. Kind of like we're All Elite.
funny thing. I mean, we were talking about drafts earlier, and we were talking about MLW earlier. MLW drafted Lee Moriarty and Bobby Fish earlier this year when they were doing their relaunch, and both those guys are now with AEW.
Yeah. And we get Bobby Fish and Bryan Danielson a week from today on Saturday Night Dynamite live from Miami. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Another thing, Leo Rush now is kind of like becoming a little bit of a matchmaker sort of backstage. I don't know what he's doing. He's being a financial consultant. I'm not really, but he was officially on site this past week, which is pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, and also next week's
not necessary signing in my mind. I'm just going to say it.
Well, they wanted him before.
He's very talented, like athletically and stuff. Obviously he can talk, but that's not my top choice.
Remember when
I'm not a fan of Leo Rush all that much, but I would love to see him and Dante Martin down the road. I think that
hopefully we see that match before Leo retires again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he retires, he gets a hangnail.
Well, he was the voice of Bobby Lashley when Lashley first started getting the big push in WWE. Then he ended up being, I believe it was the cruiserweight title holder. I'm not sure what the 205 title holder or whatever. One of the last ones, I think, with WWE before he got cut. And now he got hurt on I can't remember the pay-per-view AEW did where he showed up. Double or Nothing. He got hurt and said he was retiring. And now he's back. And we'll see what happens with him. But
side note, I just had a great idea for the most obnoxious, annoying, hated tag team of all time. Leo Rush and Austin Aries.
Oh.
I got their name. I've got their name.
We just got a good
Napoleonic complex.
We just got a good question from Billy DeTore, who's on following us right now. He said, could there be an Undisputed Era reunion in AEW? You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. We're getting, the Bullet Club reunion, kind of, the BTE or whatever, Elite.
I'd keep them separate. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on. And yeah, the Elite or whichever name they want to use this week.
This week.
I would keep them separate. I'm curious to see what they really end up doing with Fish. I don't know if they have huge plans for him or not.
He'll be a utility player. The kind of guy that can put the young guys over. He can definitely teach some of the people that are there are still rather green. And he's the kind of guy who could take them under his wing and sort of work with them to become better. I would love to see it if Kyle O'Reilly, whenever his contract is up, if he jumps, they bring back Red Dragon, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool too. DC, I was just remembering, what was it, 4 years ago when we got to see Bobby Fish wrestle for upstate here in New York, I talked with him, and it was right when he was going up to NXT. And he's a guy, Bobby Fish has been around Rochester forever. I don't know if you guys aren't, if you guys haven't been into independent wrestling, he's a guy who's been here. I've seen him at the Dome. I've seen him at upstate wrestling. I've seen him everywhere. And nice guy,
that terrible venue in Hamlin.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice to see yet another New York Stater, getting signed there and stuff.
I cheered when they put the graphic up last week in Rochester saying he was debuting next week. I think they put the graphic was up on the screen for a second, I think. So
I didn't even know about it till after the show.
Yeah.
They did a promo or something or an interview live during, the, the Cody Rhodes reality show.
Yeah.
And they're utilizing that to do a lot of promotion.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I watched a little bit of that. I knew exactly the era they were talking about. I'm not big on these reality shows anyways. It's interesting though, but
I just love how they don't know what they're doing with that.
What was that?
I want them to have an Easter egg in every episode where you see Arn Anderson peering through a window at Cody's house.
By the way, great line last night about Arn Anderson and guns, but no, I don't want to go off on that, but it was.
Oh, come on. How about Wednesday? Cody's like, what are you going to do, Arn? Shoot me? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, don't sneak up on him and don't try to steal his car. I follow the company that creates the AEW action figures because I'm looking forward to the Brody Lee drop. Hopefully that'll come soon.
Oh yeah.
But he asked, you know, what AEW figures should we make next and accessories? And I said, Arn Anderson with a Glock. and I don't know if he saw that or if he appreciated it all that much, but I think it'd be great. You can actually make that as a custom if you want. An Arn Anderson with a Glock action figure.
Someone said they should rename his son Glock Anderson.
Yeah, not Brock. Okay, so we got to move on a little bit. So we're AEW.
The Machine Gun Anderson.
I want to remind everybody that AEW next week is Dynamite's going to be on Saturday. So we'll broadcast before the actual next Dynamite show. So who knows what we'll talk about? No, we'll talk about a lot.
We could do a watch along.
Well, we could do a watch along. We could broadcast at night. You know, nothing's stopping us. We do whenever we're available. So try to do it for you, the folks who listen to every morning at 10 in the morning, you know, when we were on the radio. And we may be going back to the radio. I'm not going to say that's an end, that's done forever. But one other thing. Okay, I've got a lot of women's questions going in the message board here while we're talking. And made a big announcement this past week, WOW, Women of Wrestling, that they're coming back. And former Divas champion and Mrs. Punk, AJ Mendez or AJ Lee, is going to be working commentary for the show. Tessa Blanchard has signed on to be the lead, to lead the roster. So, and Dave, this is the same people that did WOW before. David McClain, Jeannie Buss from the Lakers, the one who owns the Lakers. And they're serious about it. They're going to be starting next year with this company. They're looking to air on CW Seed or Pluto TV. It's going to start in December, I guess, this year. AJ will be the color commentary and executive producer along with Jeannie Buss. So we got women's wrestling solely, and maybe this is why we're seeing a little bit more of this women's wrestling going on, because we got a show tonight that's all women's wrestling. I mentioned earlier, Impact Plus, where we're going to get every match is a women's match, which is going to be pretty cool. And Veda Scott from Ring of Honor, I remember her. Is it Vida? I can't remember. I think it was Veda Scott.
Veda,
that's it. And she's going to be doing play-by-play with Mickey James doing color commentary. And we have Melissa Santos being the ring announcer. But we got some great matches tonight there, too, if you have Impact Plus, with the Shannon Daphne Sproul Memorial Monsters Ball Bash that's going to be in the main event with Savannah Evans, Kimberly versus Alicia versus Jordan Grace. So we're going to have a four-way monster ball with women. Hopefully there's not too much blood in that. But there's a lot of interest in women's wrestling, and we were talking a lot about it with the new women's title. I see Buddy Brian on the message board said they should just dump the women's title in AEW and just go with the new TBS as the women's title. But I think it's good to have, like, you know, it's kind of like a TV title, or maybe like an intercontinental title, but they're going to call it the TBS title, and it's going to be defended on TBS. So, but what do you guys think about this? All this flush of women's wrestling that's being pushed in. I mean, I think it's about time for a lot of it. That's for sure. But anyone have any thoughts on women of wrestling? Dave McClain, that's the only kind of iffy name when we talk about it, because he's like did the GLOW stuff, and he was kind of goofy announcer in GLOW. But
If there's ever a time where this could work, it is now, because women's wrestling is more popular than ever. That being said, a totally standalone women's promotion, I don't know if it's going to work, to be honest. I think you're better suited when you've got an existing company that maybe does a completely separate women's show or something like that. Looking at those comments, when the announcements went out, I mean, they were flooded with negative comments about signing Tessa. And I am not surprised about that whatsoever. You know, in terms of Tessa, I'm disappointed with the things that she has done because she is a fantastic wrestler. But that's a really risky move for them to do from a business perspective, because from what I've seen, there's a lot more people hating on that than liking that. I like that it's an opportunity for people like Alex Gracia and some others, but I'm not super overly optimistic that this will work out, you know, as a long-term legitimate thing that people care about. I don't know. I'd rather see like AEW do a separate women's show or Ring of Honor or MLW or whatever. Like I just a totally standalone one, like you said, with some of the people that are involved. I don't know if it's going to be the right fit.
It'll be definitely interesting to see if it takes off, though. I mean, regardless of the negative feedback or negative comments about Tessa, I mean, just like you were saying, she is a phenomenal wrestler. And if you want to build a company around, or if you want to build a company that is going to be solely just women, you need a legitimate wrestler. You need essentially a legitimate star, and call it what it is. No matter the previous issues she had with her background, she is a legitimate star. She held a men's title on one of the biggest promotions in wrestling.
And the amazing thing about that, it was after the bad words came out about her that they still gave her the men's title, the Impact title. So,
well, two days later, so yeah. They couldn't really. I mean, that was a very interesting weekend how that all played out, like timing wise. I mean, I don't know if I've said this publicly too. Like, she was going to win the Wrestle Circus title from Scorpio Sky before the company closed as well. That ended up not happening because the promotion shut down, but you know, enjoyed her work there too. A lot of intergender stuff, whatever. Tremendous wrestler. I just wish she's the best wrestler that's a free agent in the world, but you can't use her to market your company or be the face of the company right now with everything out there and get a positive enough reaction for a brand new upstart company. Definitely. So I think like they're going to have to get some other names in there. And obviously, like, okay, it's cool that they have AJ, but she's not going to be wrestling. So I think, and the others that were there, like Gracia and them, don't have the star power to bring people over right out of the gate. So they're going to have to try to get some other people in there that are established names if they're going to be a legitimate contender or player in the wrestling scene.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, but I think having a Tessa Blanchard definitely does help, and it might put you on the right path somewhere.
Yeah, she's, I mean, listen, we're not going to question her ability. Yes, the girl can do it. Unfortunately, she's got a track record that you know, it's kind of like she's not running for public office because she will never get elected because she said some things, and there's some wrestlers out there who are still wrestling to this day that she said some things to that, you know, were deemed racist, demeaning, and she hasn't denied it. You know,
well, I think the one important thing to point out on that is, like, we can all, you know, if we're watching from home or whatever, we can have opinions of whether or not we want to watch her, whether, regardless of all of that, the big part in this, which is true for her and on a much quieter level, true for maybe a couple other people in the wrestling business. Like, there are top women's wrestlers who will not go work for that company because Tessa's there.
Yep.
They won't wrestle her. They're not going to work with her. They don't want to be in the locker room with her. So that is something where they're handcuffing themselves with this signing, that you have to be able to overcome that as a company, because you're going to have people who, if you didn't have Tessa, would maybe be happy to sign there, but because of that, they're not stepping foot in that promotion. And that's a legitimate roadblock to run into.
Definitely. And, you know, and we'll see what happens. They're supposed to be starting soon. They, like I said, next year will be the big year for them. December is when the Pluto TV and the CW seed, we're going to be, they're expecting the broadcast. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll definitely watch it. And who knows, maybe she'll not be, you know, won't be a TV person, but more, you know, said she'll lead the roster. But does that mean that she'll be on TV wrestling, or maybe she'll be like an off TV type thing? We'll find out. We'll find out. But, you know, power to WOW. They've had some big names there before, too. So it's, you know, we'll see what happens. But some other news we want to do. Oh, we wanted to mention Reggie Parks. Reggie Parks died this past week, just yesterday. And Reggie Parks, DC, you got that belt still?
Of course, I've been wearing it in his honor today.
Reggie Parks is a belt designer. You might remember the Winged Eagle belt, famous Winged Eagle WWF title. If you're following us now on, if you're watching the video, DC's holding it up. Beautiful belt, incredible.
I mean, he's created some of the most prestigious titles in world wrestling. I mean, the IC title, the WWF tags. I mean, he's really put a stamp and his mark on the wrestling fandom for a lot of people, especially collectors. I mean, a lot of these people, whether they're replicas, real copies, bootlegs, I mean, these titles are being made every day for collectors. Like, I know me and DC are huge into the belt game, and he put a huge stamp on it based on his creations. And maybe not his designs, obviously WWF and WWE had a say in it, but, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, you get these things are made constantly between replicas. They're made as little action figures. So he really had a big impact in wrestling.
I will say my a friend of mine who owned a soccer team was going to buy everyone on the soccer team a championship belt if they won the championship. And he asked me who to go to, and I sent him to Reggie Parks. So they had actually had discussions back and forth about creating like 30 or some odd, and I was going to get one too, but they had to be good enough to win the championship, and they were not. So, but I was hoping, you know, that eventually I was going to get that championship belt from Reggie Parks, because they talked and they were in the process of order, you know, if I don't know, you know, preemptively ordering belts for a championship that never happened. But the man, I mean, this is the guy you go to when you wanted to make a belt for a company. A lot of companies who would go to him, and there's a lot out there. You just got to go online and like look at he's got a website where he has all the pictures of all the belts that he created. It's just really, it's insane. And they're beautiful. And the winged eagle for the WWF title was like probably one of the most famous, or the WCW world title that Ric Flair held, for years, the big one, the one, you know, way too big for anybody to be carrying around. That was the original Raw title back in when Eric Bischoff handed it to Triple H years ago too.
I mean, but not only that, Cash, I mean, he created belts for, you know, WWF at the time, WCW, yep. AWA, NWA, New Japan.
Georgia Championship Wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. Mid-Atlantic, I mean, Championship Wrestling.
His influence was everywhere. He even created, you know, some of the UFC belts. I mean, but really, I mean, and like you said, you know, if you wanted a belt made, it was Reggie Parks. Like, he was the guy. I mean, that kind of now falls to his protege, Dave Milliken, and some of the other Midwest makers. But, yeah. I mean, Reggie was the top.
Yeah. If you ask a lot of the collectors, Milliken is not the best person to do business with.
I've heard he takes years.
And everybody's money.
Years doesn't to fulfill orders.
And doesn't deliver on the product unless it's a company calling.
Of course. And yeah, well, you know, but man, so it is a loss for the guy who designed some of your favorite memories as a kid of these belts, you know.
And I know it's a hollow thing. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, that makes, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the man who, I mean, all WWE belts were him, you know, for years.
Him and Johnston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Johnston.
Definitely. I mean, aside from somebody that's in the ring. You name two of the people who had the biggest influence on WWE in the late 80s through the 90s. It's those two guys with the belt designs and the theme music. Designs.
Yeah, and just think about that. When you think of a wrestler and what's so, you know, what they're related to. I mean, when you think of Triple H, you think of his music. You think Stone Cold, you hear the glass break. I mean, you hear all that stuff. And immediately it goes right to Jim Johnston. I mean, and then anytime you're holding up a title belt, especially in the golden era, you're holding up the Winged Eagle, you know, Brett, Stone Cold, Hogan, all so many great names holding that belt. And that goes back to Reggie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that overall there just needs to be more of a focus on non-wrestlers for the Hall of Fame, because quite honestly, they've inducted people on a wrestling side that didn't have Hall of Fame careers when you compare it to other sports or whatever. But you mentioned like Parks and Johnson, the referees like Kyoto and Hebner and them, like, absolutely should be in. Of their like 30-year like backstage people, the Harvey Whippleman's, and someday Bruce Pritchard, like a lot of these people, like, they're gonna have to have a spot in there as well, because they did a lot more for the company than I don't know.
If you can have a celebrity wing and induct, you know, Donald Trump, Drew Carey, Snoop Dogg, you can induct people that actually had an impact on the actual company.
Yep.
Last thing I'll say, the pop culture reference too. Like, you hear Hulk Hogan, you think real American, you think this belt. And then one of my favorite pieces of trivia is, for anybody that watched the show How I Met Your Mother, the character Barney created a title belt to be given to the first friend who could, what's the nicest way to say it? Go to bed with two ladies at the same time. And this was the prize.
All right.
This was the prize.
All right.
Is that the prize? They're going to bed with the two. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a was going to say there's a physical prize, but then, I mean, I can't use that either. Cause
you win in so many different ways. So, you know, we're going to have to wrap up the show for this week.
Way to wrap it up.
Yeah. There's a couple things I want to mention though. I want to mention, next week, I mentioned this earlier, Rampage or Dynamite's going to be on Saturday, and SmackDown's going to be on FS1 this week coming up. So and they've already announced some big matches, hoping to get people to come over and watch on FS1. But it'll be if you don't have cable and you're just watching it on Fox, you're not going to be able to watch it this week, okay? Because it's going to be on.
I will be watching Rampage on Friday, but Tony Khan's tweet about, like, basically saying, like, I can't wait to beat you, SmackDown, that half hour we go head to head.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's not going to happen with that Rampage lineup. I'm sorry. Like, there will be enough people that find FS1 that I don't know. I think that was a little bit too forward of him to tweet.
Some more things.
I hope it happens. Yeah. I'll be watching Rampage.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. So I want to let some more things going on real quick as we get out. Bret Hart was inducted into Canada's Walk of Fame a week ago Wednesday, which is really pretty cool. Bret Hart, you know, they've been trying for years to get him in it, and they finally got him in. So he's inducted a week ago Wednesday. Added just last night to the King of the Ring tournament, Queen's Crown tournament in 2021. King of the Ring tournament is going to be taking place at the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, but they just added a Hell in a Cell match between Seth Rollins and Edge. They're going to have to ship the Hell in the Cell to Saudi Arabia. I bet you that's going to cost a fortune. But that's going to be part of the...
I have a feeling they got to be building a different similar one. Already there.
Yeah, they might be already there. Yeah, they might be building a new one. Yeah, who knows? But
I think if you shipped that over there, you would have to start shipping it like 2 years ago.
True that. So on
it's
that note,
sitting off the coast of California as we speak.
On that note, we've got Bound for
Glory. That's how you get in free, is you help build a Hell in a Cell.
And then you see if you can get people out without anyone noticing. Never mind. We're going back to that joke again. Sorry. So we're going to get out of here. We got Bound for Glory coming up real soon. We've got the Crown Jewel and everything, and I want to thank you, Rob. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby. And thank you, Jay-Z, who had to leave a little bit earlier. His daughter got done with Kung Fu class, so we're going to get out of here.
Thank you, Cash.
Thank you, and we'll see you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.